Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, yes, we are live inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, and we're delighted to be back. We've been back, I don't know, a month or so after the kind of coming out of the pandemic, shall we say, and we're excited to be back. That said, the good folks at Renaissance have been here all along helping small businesses get away from the big bank experience. And you know what I mean, 1-800 numbers, computer-generated voices, and all the attempts that they can make to keep you from talking to a live person. And Renaissance is big enough to do business in a pretty comprehensive way, small enough to offer you those services in a personal manner. So what I suggest is go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office and be in touch. And I think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we've got two great guests today. Lisa Malvia is with us. She's with Caring Transitions of Roswell. And we've also got Hans Meyer. And Hans is with Hans Meyer Wooden Puzzles. First, we're going to start with Lisa. Lisa Malvia with Caring Transitions. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Let's talk about you and how you're serving folks at Caring Transitions.
Well, we are a large service provider across a national network of 200 franchises. I'm here in the Roswell, Woodstock, Alpharetta, Marietta, Sandy Springs area. And we help families and their seniors transition. And what that means is we can help them relocate to another home, to the family home, to a community center. And that means we pack, move, plan, we unpack, we hang pictures, we put beds away, we organize for them, we help it be really simple. We also help people right size. So that's our second R. And then we also will go back into their home and help them resell all the things with an estate sale or an online auction. And we'll get a clean out so that they can sell the house and move on to their next fun chapter. So every project's different for us.
Oh, wow. So a lot of comprehensive services there. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you're a national organization. And as before we came on the show, you said you're the local franchise of this national organization. I always like to ask, you know, of the 10 or 15,000, how many ever franchises there are out there, why this one for you?
Okay, great question. So I come from Procter & Gamble and Clorox, so national brands, right? I believe in national brands. My father was a Burger King franchisee, one of the first. So I grew up in a family where you're running that small business and you have the presence of that. After 35 years in corporate America, I had been through the journey of helping my mom through Alzheimer's, helping my dad through vascular dementia, and I just wanted to help people. And so I sought out some opportunities in the healthcare and the services arena. And Caring Transitions had been around for over 15 years. We've done 20,000 projects nationally. We have over 200,000 bidders on our online platform. And we have an owner group that's been doing this for a long period of time. So for me, wanting to help people and help families and seniors, and then believing in that national presence, that was why I chose a national service provider. We get a lot of moves here from other places in the country. You know, it's like a family will say, hey, I want mom to be near me. She lives in Princeton, New Jersey. Can you help figure out what she needs to bring and get her packed up in New Jersey and then resettle her here in her community? And so I work with my partners nationally on that effort as well. So I just believed in the brand, believed in the service, and the national presence helps us all get the community learning from everywhere. So it's not just me by myself. It's my team here locally, but then there's a national presence.
Sure, sure. Let's talk about, I guess, I think this is obvious for a lot of people, but, you know, What makes the senior market so particularly in need of the services that you offer? And why is it, I guess, why is it important to bring a special expertise, you know, to this particular market?
Okay, so moving's hard. Yeah. Moving's physical. Moving's emotional. Okay. Number two, and so you want somebody to kind of help get you through that. So I moved 15 times in corporate America. I moved my parents 7 times throughout their journey. So I've moved before I ever got into this business. And when our seniors are kind of going to college, going to a retirement community, you know, they're torn about it. They know that they can't physically do the things. They see their kids just involved in their own life and then trying to balance things that are going on with the parents. And they get into these, you know, how do we decide this? Well, if you can only fit a certain amount of furniture, that's a little bit of a math equation, right? But what are your treasures? How do we make you feel loved around it? And so what we do is we help plan all of that, but we also take the emotion out off the kids and we take the burden off the parents because they don't want to burden their kids, but they want somebody to get it done. And they're overwhelmed and they're stuck. And so we kind of say, oh, okay, well, let's figure out the plan. Let's figure out the timeline. I was with a family this morning and he's like, I don't know what to do. And I said, okay, let's just start with this room. What do you use this room for? What do you love? And he's like, I don't like that. I don't care about that, but I want this. Okay, great. Let's start there. So we kind of just facilitate through that. And that is, we become a full service shop there. And so, you know, my mom had Alzheimer's and I used to tell my dad before he was sick, go be her date. You know, let's let the caregiver help with this project. And what I tell families here is y'all go out, get your nails done, have lunch. My team's going to pack you up, move you and unpack you. And you're going to come into your new home. And they're like they just kind of walk in and go, oh, wow, you've listened and you saw all the things that were important to me. That's what our team loves is helping people like that. So it just takes all the tension off the extended family, the kids, the parents, and we just get it done. The one thing that is probably different also is that if I know that one, somebody's got Alzheimer's or dementia involved, I kind of change my tune. I'll go take a picture of things and we replicate that exactly in the new place because moves are stressful, but for someone with that kind of challenge, it's even harder. And so I want to alleviate that for everybody. It also means I double up on a team so that we can move faster so that there's less stress involved. So a lot of people don't, they're like, I'm in a 2,000 square foot home. How are you going to do that? I'm like, we're going to have you packed up in a day. I'm going to get you over there tonight. Tomorrow you're going to come home. It's going to be your home.
Wow.
And so they're like, okay, how do we get started? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we do. And then we go back to the house and we go, okay, you want to sell the house now. Here's what's left. Let's sell it. Let's donate it. Let's trash it. Let's do all of that. Let's get it clean. And the real estate agent, which I don't sell houses, the real estate agent knows my timeline all along, and then they put it on the market, and that's where the real money is for the family.
So you, talking about how you help families reduce stress, mm-hmm. I can see how you reduce stress between family members, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not just for a particular family member, whatever they're going through themselves, but mm-hmm. but the stress that can happen between family members, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do a lot of listening. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of facilitating. Mm-hmm. I offer a lot of options, but I keep it to a timeline. Safety is very important. So every family wants to take a rug or a carpet. I'm like, no, I don't want you to fall. And, you know, my 90-year-old clients will say, well, I'm going to pack this before you get here. And I'm like, no, that's why you've hired my team. I don't want you to fall and get hurt.
Right.
So we're always doing those things. Sometimes the kids have been telling them that. They just hear it differently from a professional that's there to help them. They've got stress. You know, I just take the time to say, okay, how you doing? You know, like the woman I was with this morning, she said, well, I'm a little overwhelmed because we just planned out her whole space. And I said, you can change any decision we just made. We have 3 weeks. You can add to it. You can take away from it. Get a nap now. And she's like, okay, yeah. And I gave her a homework list. And so she had a homework list. And so it's about stress and knowing that it can all work. And that's what our customers say. I mean, they're like, wow, you came in and I thought it was going to be a wildfire and you just sat and helped me get it figured out. So
Lisa, do you work with the moving company as well? So how does that work?
So I have a moving team. I mean, everybody's my team.
Okay.
And our team. And I'm privileged to work with so many people who care. I have all age groups, all genders. We all do different things. We're cross-trained in planning, moving, packing, unpacking, organizing, hanging pictures, putting things away. And then we're all cross-trained in like going back into the house afterwards and saying, you know, let's sort this. What can we sell? We create these vignettes that with our bidders, we have a lot of bidders here locally and nationally, and they bid on these online auctions. And then your things go to a new family who wants them and who's willing to pay for them. And so, I mean, there's times when I will hire out a mover, but my team is nationally certified and it's all our team. So we work together every day. We've probably been working 8 days a week since COVID.
I'll bet you have. Lisa Malvia is with us, folks, and she is with Caring Transitions here in the North Fulton area and beyond, really. So that's a great question, is what's your service area for those that are listening to this interview?
Right. Well, so we have probably 230 franchises nationally. I am one of three franchisees here. In the Atlanta area. So I have Lisa Haskell that's over in Gwinnett, Suwannee, Lawrenceville. Mike DeLeon's down in Tucker. I have Roswell, Marietta, Woodstock, Alpharetta, Sandy Springs, going down into Buckhead, over into Woodstock. And so we have, I'll give you a perspective. So in Dallas, there are like 11 to 13 franchisees. In Atlanta, there are us three. And so we cover areas, but we also go outside of those areas as well and try to help families. So, and that's always based on mileage and what the project load is and how we can expand and all that. So we're right here. And I tell people I live in my truck and I'll come over there and tell you, let's just sit down and chat. So
let's talk about maybe how in a relationship or engagement works. I'm calling you on behalf of mom or dad or what have you, a family member. And how does that unroll? I mean, how do you go forward in terms of the engagement?
So we start by talking out what's going on. What's your timeline? A lot of people call me and they're like, I just put my house in the market and it sold. I have 30 days to get out. Uh-oh. That may be somebody my age too, right?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't have to be somebody 80 years old or 90 years old. And so we just kind of talk about it and I get some feedback. I'm very, trying to make sure promises made or promises delivered. And so we have a timeline. And so some timelines are, well, we can do this here and then we can do that there. And sometimes some timelines are very constricted by other situations, right? It could be a health situation, somebody in the hospital and they're not going home. They need to go straight into an assisted living facility and they want it to be surrounded by their homes. So I talk. I go visit, I do an assessment. I don't charge by the hour. I charge by the project. So I'm really in that face-to-face first time trying to understand what does help look like, what kind of timelines are there, what's the work to be done, and then I send a proposal and a quote, and then we start on our timeline. So that's kind of how it works.
Gotcha. And I would imagine that you really are in the surprise and delight business.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us are, but I can certainly imagine that you are because you have, you're getting people really kind of at emotional lows, right, in a lot of ways, right? And you're giving them, you're taking a lot of stress off of them, and what you're offering is really priceless in a way.
Well, thank you. You know, different people feel differently about it, right? And we see things come up. So, like, if I have a woman and her husband passed away 2 years ago or 6 years ago, but now she's decided to move to one of these great, you know, independent living communities, she's excited about it on day of move. She's, like, sad.
Yeah.
Because it's bringing up, I'm leaving my home because my husband passed away. So that brings up a whole nother set of emotions, right? And they know they need to do it. They know they want to do it. They know it's the right time, but they don't know how it's all going to fit. And so I'm like, look, my team's going to come in. We're little elves. We're going to get it done. You have to look me in the eye and count on me that we're going to get it done for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely is relieving stress, and it's just getting people onto that next chapter, things that they're going to be. What I love telling people is that if you're going to go into an independent community like there, and they're beautiful ones here in the Atlanta area and surrounding areas. I mean, there are activities, there are engagement. You don't have to cook. You know, you're going to meet new friends, and y'all are going to talk about what you did in your 20s and your 40s and your 60s. And it just can be a whole new chapter. It's kind of like college kids going, you know, they're going off to college and they meet new friends and they got new activities. It's the same thing. And it's such a great relief. It's a relief for kids too, because now they're not having to call mom every 20 minutes to make sure she's okay, because they know all of a sudden my mom is back to my mom. So that's what's cool too.
Yeah, that is cool. Lisa Malvia is with us, folks, with Caring Transitions here in the North Fulton area. So, Lisa, you talked about how your work changes when you know someone that has Alzheimer's or dementia. Things are just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Dive a little more into that.
Let's say I'm sitting with a couple, and the couple has the spouse who doesn't have Alzheimer's dementia has made the choice, and they've told me that. But, you know, husband is sitting in the room. I'm going to be much simpler in my conversation. I'm going to not talk about all the details in front of them. I'm going to assure them that, I reflect back to a man who was a collector, and he had some Alzheimer's dementia, and he had three curios full of stuff, breakable stuff from years of collecting. And all I did was talk about how beautiful his things are when he was there in the room. But, you know, he would get bored and then go back to his TV. And then I would talk to the spouse about, okay, here's how this will work. I'm going to take pictures of those three curios, because when we get to the new space, even though I know he's not happy about moving, he's going to see his things that were important to him and that takes him back to these memories and stuff. So I'm just simpler in the situation. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I need to make a second trip there to know I can talk to her when he's occupied. And the other thing that I do is, so when we're packing and moving, I don't allow the seniors to be in the home with us. It's not safe for them because we're moving around at light speed. And it's really not safe for somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's. What we also try to do is speed up that move. So like I may double team it so that we can go even quicker, because every moment they're out of their element can just spur or escalate them to a new level of anxiety. So there's a couple of things that we do that are different.
Sure, sure. So you've got, I know, some great testimonials to share.
Oh, you know, so I love technology today. Technology, when people do little feedback loops or one sentence. And so I really like people to write something, and then I share those with any client that's with us. And the coolest thing is they talk about the calm, the approach, the professionalism. They talk about the timetable, how they were able to get where they needed to get to, how we took care of the stuff back in the house afterwards. I could read some, but it's really cool to hear what people say in their words, not the words that I would put with it. Mm-hmm. And the biggest joy that I get is that it's helping them and their families get to a new chapter, and it's relieving some stress, and it's helping them realize that it all can get done and done without any problems. And we like to handle things. We moved a family a couple weeks ago from Alabama into a community here, and a TV got busted on the way. And, some movers would say, oh, we need to file a claim for that. And I was over at Best Buy within 30 minutes.
Mm.
And they're telling me, oh, but we don't have that one in stock. We don't have this. And I said, look, I have a 90-year-old client that's getting a TV tonight. You need to show me what we've got, and we're going to get it out of this store and into that building. Mm-hmm. And so the kids were like, wow, you just handled it. I'm like, because that was important to her to be able to come in and be able to see, okay, I can sit and be calm in front of my TV.
Right.
So we just handle things like that. I also tell clients, I'm like, here's the perfect plan. There are going to be bumps. We're going to adapt with the bumps. If I feel like I can't make a decision when that bump happens, I'm going to call you. I'm going to text you. We're going to get it done. So we try to, that's just another thing that we try to make it easy for. So
that's awesome. Wow. Great work here from Lisa Malvia with Caring Transitions. Lisa, this has been great. And I can't imagine that there aren't some folks that don't want to be in touch with you.
Oh, absolutely.
And so let's get to the most important question.
What's
which
that?
Is getting them to in contact with you. Tell us how they can do that.
Okay, so here's a phone number. It's 24/7 office line. It comes to my team and they send a note directly to me. It's 770-802-1MOM. That's 1666, and that's after my mom. You can also, I'm going to repeat that again.
Okay.
770-802-1666. My email is lmalvia, that's lmalvea at caringtransitions.com. Or you can call me on my direct cell phone number because I'll always answer it. That number is 770-370-0609.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Lisa Malvia, Caring Transitions. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got administrative tasks in your business that are weighing you down, if you're up at night at 11 o'clock or something like that doing your books, you need a better plan. And you know what I mean. So here's what my suggestion is. Give SE Escobedo over at Office Angels a call. Here's what will happen. SE will listen to your problem, and she will pair you up with an angel, maybe two, depending on the size of your issue. And she'll pair you up with an angel who will fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on a virtual basis. And they've been doing that for 21 years. So a pandemic does not scare them. They know how to handle business that way. So give SE a call, 770-442-9246, or go to officeangels.us. I think you'll be glad you did. I know you will, because I use SE services myself, and she's terrific. Now I want to welcome Hans Meyer, an old friend. Hans is with Hans Wooden Puzzles. Hans, welcome.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you. Now, let's catch up with you. What are you up to these days with Hans Wooden Puzzles?
This is a whole different ball game. I said I've done Hans Wooden Puzzles for a long, long time. It was my hobby, and I did 25 or 30 craft shows a year and worked and whatever. But now in March of 2020 during the pandemic, I retired. You know, and so now it's a lot different because now I've got all day to make stuff instead of from 6 to 10 or 6 to midnight at every night to make stuff. So I am world renowned for scroll sawing. I used to say I was only Atlanta area, but now with technology and everything else, and I do the presentations. Some of my presentations that people have videoed, none in my shop, all were in front of live audiences. Some of them have, 30,000 to 200,000 views, and I get questions from all around the world on a daily basis. So, you get 200,000 views on something, it's interesting. And I've got about 50 or 60 of those out there, and it's interesting. And then I belong to a woodworking club, so along the way, I don't know why it is, John, you end up the same way as when you go. I join something, I don't just sit in the back row. I'm usually end up on the on the board. I'm usually the president or the chairman or whatever. So I'm chairman of the scroll saw group, and then I would go to the meetings and go to all the different meetings, and we did all the various woodworking things. And one of the things we did was turning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go to the turning meeting, it really looks nice, or you go to some other thing and you learn, you see something, but unless you physically do it, you forget what you saw. So about 7 years ago, I bought a lathe, and so now I'm also turning, and because of that, I am on the board of three turning clubs locally. I went to one on a whim. Somebody told me to go to this turning club. There was something really going on. I went there in May of that year, and I ended up being president in November for the next 3 years. So, but it's interesting, and you see a lot of stuff, and when you watch people do it, you learn a lot of things. And so yeah. I've had a good time doing lathe, and I was lucky enough. I had a small lathe and couldn't do very big stuff, but, I went to a friend's house and made about a 15 inch platter and brought it home. My wife really liked it. And then a month later, I went to that friend's house and created another platter of that size. When I got home, my wife said, "You need a bigger lathe, don't you?" Because my lathe would only do 11 3/4 inches. So I got a big lathe for Christmas, and I was lucky enough to get it right before. I mean, now the people are ordering that same lathe, and let's see, January, maybe February of 2022, you can get it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing, you know, a lot of equipment and stuff is so back ordered now, but it's fun. So I've been doing, like I said, I usually do about 26 to 30 craft shows a year. And during the pandemic, I did two. The other 24 were canceled. And so I've been at Lakewood Antique Mall,
mm-hmm.
Which has about 500 vendors. It's an antique mall. And I didn't do really well when I first started out, but now since I've been there 5 years, I'm getting repeat customers, and customers are coming for gifts, and they know what I've got, and I steer people that way. So it was pretty good. I probably had my best Saturday ever last month, and that was because even though there was a gas crisis, I mean,
yeah,
you know.
But. Well, so Hans... You know, a lot of folks may know what scroll saw is or wood turning.
Okay.
They may not.
Okay.
Instead of describing those ways of woodworking, let's describe what comes, the kind of things you make with a scroll saw and with wood turning. And that's, I think maybe that'll give folks a impression of the breadth of things that you do.
Okay, what people are trying to do on lasers now, okay, they know how to run computers, they know how to run the lasers, and they program it, and they do it, and it'll take them 3 hours to cut out.
Mm.
I can cut that same thing out with a scroll saw. Scroll saw has a blade about the size of your hair in your head,
mm-hmm.
and I cut it out. I drill holes for inside cuts, and I can cut it out. And I just saw a Facebook post where somebody said, yeah, it took me 3 hours to cut that, and a friend of mine was able to cut it in 30 minutes on his scroll saw. You know, and so, and if you think back, remember your family's furniture, your great-great-grandmother's furniture always had the fretwork on the top of the dining room dish cabinets and stuff. That was all done with a scroll saw of some nature. A lot of times back then, it may have been done with just a 6-inch hand scroll saw with a thin blade. Now it's done with a, you know, blade that goes up and down. And along that same line, when you think about it, and I've done it many times, the scroll saw is no different than a sewing machine. Okay, because it goes up and down. Mm. And believe it or not, I can teach kids easier to do scroll saw than you could teach people to use a sewing machine, and it's much safer because my blade is attached on the top and the bottom, where a sewing machine, it's only attached on the top, and there's a pointy thing on the bottom when it goes up and down. And you talk to anybody that was a sewer, they've gotten their finger in that needle. So,
yep.
You know, so that, like I said, so scroll saw. So you can cut shapes, you can cut what's called fretwork. One of my favorite things are to do three-dimensional. Mm. I like to do a lot of three-dimensional. What you do is basically take a block, I'm limited on size. I can only go to 2 inches, but I can do length. But you take it and you cut out one side, let's say one image, you tape it back together, don't take it apart, and you turn it one revolution, you cut it again, and when you pull it apart, you've got a three-dimensional object, i.e. I could be doing a whole chess set, so I could do all the characters of a chess set or whatever. And I'd like to do a lot of three-dimensional stuff. When I was at shows, if it was slow, I would make something. I'd have to put it away so I wouldn't sell it, so then I could reproduce it later at different things. So I do a lot of three-dimensional stuff. But, you know, you can do a lot of things with a scroll saw. It's kind of a dying art. People aren't doing much with them. I mean, they're not as many scrollers out there as, the younger people are not taking up. They're taking up the lasers and whatever, but it's just like anything else. They don't understand what's behind the, they can do it and they can program it and cut it on the laser. But if they understood, they could probably make their job a lot easier in some cases on a scroll saw.
Sure. Now you've got a number of different items that you regularly do, wooden bowls, wooden plates, cutting boards, what have you. But you've also got, we've got a business audience, so I want to make sure our business owners out there understand for gift purposes, you've got things like wooden pens and some other business-related items.
I have a lot because I'm in the North Fulton Chamber. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I was in there in many of my companies. I was in there since the 1980s. And for some reason, I don't know why, we won't say, and John's not supposed to laugh, but I was there up to the pandemic.
Right.
And then I did some, and then I retired, so I wasn't there. Well, about 15 to 20 of my chamber people called me and said, you got to come back. You got to come back when we do our first thing from the pandemic, and we're having our first live meeting. So we came back. Well, I came back. I was in the retirement stage. And of course, the salesperson, I won't mention her name, Lisa. No, I didn't say that. She said, you need to join. So I ended up joining again. But I have a lot of the real estate agents. I've got a lot of people that have good customers or whatever. What they'll do if they have a closing, they will have me make a special object for that person, maybe with their name. I've got one of the real estate agents. He, every time he does a closing, he calls me and says, okay, I need a cross. My crosses are 12 inches wide, 17 inches high, all intricate cuts in them. And what he does is he picks out one that meets the needs of what his client is and then says, okay, make it. And when you get it done, bring it to me. So I do a lot of that stuff. I just had one come on Monday and picked up some hand scroll sawed Christmas ornaments for their clients. So a lot of clients, and that's probably what I'll have to start doing at the chamber, but I'm just saying I've got a lot of people. And I happen to, just for reasons, I don't know why, but John has somebody that's related to him that went to a school called Alabama. And so I made a football with the national champion score, which I think this year was 52-24, I believe.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Ray will probably enjoy that.
Dr. Ray's going to scream with delight when she sees this. So that's awesome, Hans. And again, so let's emphasize this for folks. I mean, you do it. It's obviously handcrafted, but original items and
specialty items.
Yeah, specialty items. You can't just go buy online, or certainly can't go to Amazon and get. I mean, this is real care that you can show your clients with these kind of items.
I had a chamber member call me and say, somebody's having their fifth anniversary. And I looked it up, and wood is what they're supposed to give for a fifth anniversary. Can you make something for him out of wood? And I said, well, what do you want? Well, can you make something for him out of wood? Well, what do you want? Can you make something out of wood for him? So I had to make something out of wood. That person was John Ray.
Yeah.
He just had his fifth anniversary for Business Radio X.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, so, we are proud recipients of this beautiful plaque here. And it's in the studio, and you have to be a guest to come see it, but we'll put it on the show page as well so people can see it.
But anything people want. I mean, I have one that's coming. I have two special orders that are coming to pick up this weekend, and one of them, you know, the ring toss game.
Yeah.
That you go against the pole at, you know, some of the outside bars or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted a table model.
Mm.
And so this one's a table model. It sits in the middle of the table, and it's got rings on both sides. And you just go. You don't wait turns. You just go. And then you move the thing. And then when you get to the end, then you won.
I love it.
And so I had to make special order. I had to make two of those for the person. So yeah,
that's cool. Now you're in the middle of doing some fundraising for a really great cause. Tell everyone about Canes for Heroes. Okay.
Canes for Heroes. What happened was a gentleman in South Carolina was making about a half dozen canes a year. He lives in South Carolina, but his daughter lives in the Atlanta area. So she came to the club and brought her father, and they talked about what he did and what he enjoyed doing or whatever. And then we asked if it would be all right if we got involved, because, you know, he makes a half dozen a year. Well, we can make 300 or 400 a year, okay, from the standpoint, because there's that many people that need it. And so what we're doing is we made his cane, and what we did is adjusted it a little bit so we could make it in a more of a, I don't want to say assembly line, but with the tools we had and the people we had, we could make them.
Sure.
So we've been doing it now for 6 or 7 years, and we've probably done about 3,000 canes to the veterans in South Carolina, VA hospital, and also Atlanta VA hospital. Now, we were down for about 13 months because of COVID, and it's not something that we want to just take a stack of six or seven canes and take them to the front door and just, you know, we can't go inside and give them to somebody because they're going to end up in a water closet or whatever. Because our canes are particularly good because we give them to the veterans. There's no cost involved. They're theirs. We make them all one size, but then when we get them to the veteran there, what we can do is we cut the bottom off. They're made so we can cut the bottom off, put the rubber thing on the bottom, and make them exactly the size that will fit.
Sure.
And so we do that. So now that we're back in business, we start back and we made a batch. I think I cut out about 48, but it takes there's a lot of processes because we have to get the wood, and wood now is expensive, and we have to get thick wood. We just can't get 3/4 inch. We got to get, you know, 1 1/4 inch wood, and then we cut them out. And then after we cut them out, we have to shape them. Then we have to route them, and then we have to put a patch in them. And then we have to, you know, sand them and get them smooth. Then we have to varnish them and stain them, or not stain them, but, you know, seal them so they're good, and then we put the handles on with dominoes on like a dowel. A domino looks just like a domino you play with, and it's square. So when you do, what that does is by putting that into the handle and then putting it in the handle, it can't twist. Hmm. And so they're going to be sturdy. It was about probably now it's probably been with COVID. It's probably been 2 years ago. If you lived in the Atlanta area, there was a gentleman who went into one of the fast food restaurants and went into the bathroom and hung his cane. He was a veteran and hung his cane on the bathroom stall. And he got done doing his business and came out and didn't have his cane. Hmm. And they ran the video in the restaurant and found out somebody had stolen his cane and taken it out.
Oh wow!
Well, it was on the news media, and so of course the news media can't let out the names of those people. But we called the news media and asked them, you know, if they could get to that person and have that person contact him, we would replace his cane, which we did, which helped us a little bit and got us a little bit of press. But, you know, what we do is we try to give these canes, and we give the canes to the veterans that have a cane now, mm-hmm. that are using some little plastic cane or some aluminum cane. Because what we try to do with these canes, these are nice wooden canes. They're made out of hardwood. A lot of times they're contrasting woods. We may use oak and then walnut handles or whatever. But then the unique part about them is we drill a hole in the side where we insert their service,
right.
whether it was Navy, Army, Coast Guard, whatever it was, we insert that logo in there. So when they go someplace, it's easy to do. We've also made them. It's taken us a little bit of, changing and adjusting and whatever, but we made them so now they can go on the back of chairs so they don't have to sit on the floor, so therefore they don't trip over them. And we make them strong enough so they will support anybody that has to use a cane.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. And these are all
volunteers. These are our woodworking volunteers. I would say probably I'm an oddball, but 75% or 80% are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
They were veterans before and now. And what we do is we get together at a person's shop and we have what's called Cane Day, and we get together. There may be 5 people, there may be 15 people, but we'll continue the process of wherever they are, and then we get the canes done, we put them on the side, and the lady, the daughter of the guy that started this, then she will come and pick them up and take them to the VA hospitals and stuff.
That's awesome. Folks, Hans Meyer is with us. He's with Hans Wooden Puzzles. And a name that unnecessarily narrows the field, because you do a whole lot of stuff beyond puzzles, that's for sure. But the puzzles are very fascinating, by the way. But Hans, this has been great. And thank you for the great work you do. Folks, we are going to have a link to the GoFundMe page for Canes for Heroes in the show notes. So go check that out. Please do what you can to help in that regard. As you heard, all the labor is donated by Hans and his colleagues, and you'd be helping with the materials that go into this. So Hans, let's give everyone your contact information if they want to be in touch for some of the other work that you do.
Okay. You can go out to HansPuzzles.com. It's in the process, because I would rather be in the basement sawing than I would working on a website. So it's in the process now. I've taken a bunch of it down, and now I've got about 8 items out there, and it's in a work in process. I'm trying to get it a little bit more, but that's HansPuzzles.com. If you need to get a hold of me, it's Hans@HansPuzzles.com. And my phone number is 404-403-2858. That's 404-403-2858. And I get questions all over the board. And one thing John didn't mention, when we make these puzzles, I do make puzzles. They're special puzzles. But let's say you have a black lab and that lab's name is Corky, okay? And you want a puzzle that's a black lab with Corky in it. That's a special order. I can do that. I can put names. I do every domestic animal, all wild animals, all, you name it, I do it, and I've done it. So, I can do them, but they're special orders because I'm probably not going to get another, because I have to create the pattern. I'm probably not going to get another black lab named Corky, but, but anyway, so I can do special things. And especially, like I said, for the business people, if you've got special awards you need for different things, I have done up to 15 or 20 unique wooden items for their staff or for particular clients that they want to give something to at Christmas time. I've done trays for a number of different clients. So, give me a call. And like I said, you can just contact me at Hans@HansPuzzles.com, and I'll be happy to help you in whatever I can.
That's awesome. Hans Meyer, folks, with Hans Wooden Puzzles. Hans, this has been great. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. And remember, if your wife comes and sees me this weekend, I got to say that.
Yeah.
On the third weekend of every month,
yep,
I'm at Lakewood 400 Antique Mall. And if you're familiar, probably about 30, 35 years ago, Lakewood started. And that's where it's in South Atlanta. That's where they did the music festivals.
Right,
well,
right.
They were there for 17 years. And then they moved up about 2 miles south of Cumming. And that's why it's called Lakewood 400. And they're the third weekend of every month, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you come on Friday, you can keep your ticket and you can come back on Saturday and come back on Sunday. And it's, you know, it's, there's 500 other vendors there. So,
yeah.
And it's coming up. I know this is not normally it's going to happen, but it's Father's Day this weekend and you could probably find a good Father's Day gift. But thank you, John.
Yeah. Thank you, Hans. Wow. Great to have you here. And we need to get Hans to come out of his shell, but folks, we'll work on that. Maybe next time, we'll be able to get him out of there. So,
get away from my notes.
There you go. I love it. I love it. So, folks, just a quick reminder that we would really appreciate it if you would go on your favorite podcast app and find the show North Fulton Business Radio as a search term. Subscribe and give us a 5-star review. No, not a 3, not a 4, but a 5. I'm asking for that for a simple reason. It's not about me or Business Radio X. It's about our guest. We want folks to find the show so they can use the great services that folks like Lisa and Hans have talked about today and our other some 600 or more guests that we've had over the last 5 years on this show. So if you could do that for us, we greatly appreciate it. So for my guest, Lisa Malvia and Hans Meyer, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.